おお、おん、サハナーバガト、サハナウブナット、サハビリアムサラバーバヘイ、テージャスヴィナーバディタマスト、マーヴィッヴィシャーバヘイ、オーム シャンティ 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 ウィンシャンティ ケノープニシャッド part 3 mantra 1 to 5 Brahma hadde devyo vijigne tasyaha brahmano vijaye deva tamahi yanta paekshanta smakamevayam vijayo smakamevayam mahimeti tadvaisham vijagnyau devyo hapradhur babhuva tannavya janata kimidam yakshamiti tadavya dravatamabhyavadat Othiti mirva ahamasmitya bravit jata vedava ahamasmiti tasmin tvai kim viryamitya pidagum sarvam daheyam yadidam prithivyamiti. So this Keno Upanishad, part 3. In part 1, like I said, first question is asked by the Shishya. Then the Guru answers, and when the Guru answers, the Upanishad is over. Then the Guru explains in detail, and the detailing continues in the first part and second part. So with first part and second part, the Upanishad is absolutely over. But in part 3, the Upanishad, in part 3 and 4, the Upanishad gives a story. And through the story, the same message is given. And in and through giving the message through the story, they also give certain values that are extremely important to know the truth, to internalize the truth. So, in this portion, part 3, the story is the Devas fight with Asuras and the Devas conquer the Asuras, obviously with the help of Brahman. And then Devas forget about the role played by Brahman, which is the most essential role. They forget about it and they are all enjoying their success, celebrating their success. So Brahman appears in the sky as apparition. And when they see that, they suddenly get worried. They think maybe even the Asuras are not fully conquered. They want to know who this is. So first Agni goes. Agni Bhagavan goes. He says, I'll go and find out. Agni Bhagavan goes to find out who that Yaksha is. And when Agni Bhagavan goes, the first Agni says, when Agni goes there, Yaksha asks, who are you? He says, I am Agni. What do? I burn up everything. Acha, you burn everything. So I'll place a straw. Can you burn this? And he says, yeah. And then the straw is placed on the ground. Agni tries to burn it. Agni is not able to burn it at all. And comes back defeated without knowing who that Yaksha is. And then when he returns back, Vayu goes. Vayu Bhagavan goes. Same story there also. Again, when Vayu Bhagavan goes, Yaksha asks, who are you? I'm Vayu. I toss up everything. Acha, can you toss up this straw? He tries his best. He also fails. He cannot toss up that straw. He comes back without knowing who that Yaksha is. Then all the gods appeal to Lord Indra, the head of Devas. And Indra goes with tremendous ego. And when he goes there, the Yaksha disappears. At least in the case of Agni and Vayu, the Yaksha was there. But when Indra goes with tremendous ego, the Yaksha disappears. But one difference in the case of Indra is, compared to Vayu and Agni, Indra doesn't come back. He is so determined. He says, I am not going to return till I find the truth. And he humbles himself and stays put there with humility and Shraddha, with that unflinching faith, uncompromising devotion, that absolute consistency with which he stands there to know the truth. He is not going to return without knowing the truth. So he stands there, and then they, you know, Indra is standing there, and Goddess Uma appears. When Goddess Uma appears, he asks, and then Goddess Uma gives Vedanta. Through that Vedantic knowledge, he comes to know of the truth. So this is the story. This is the story. So in this story, what do we understand? Agni and Vayu, they represent the organ of action and organs of action and organs of perception. The organs of action and organs of perception, and Indra represent the mind. Mind and intellect put together in this context. So in other words, the senses and the mind and intellect, the subtle body and the gross body, they cannot know what the Brahman is. This is what we already studied in part 1 and part 2. You remember, it is not what you see, but what makes you see. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. It is not what you speak, but what makes you speak. So you cannot know the truth through the organs of perception, through the organs of action. Nor can you feel the truth. You cannot feel the truth either. You cannot conceive the truth either. It is that which makes the mind feel various emotions. It is that which makes the intellect conceive various thoughts. You cannot feel the truth or Brahman. You cannot conceive the truth. So your attempt to know it through these equipments will be a failure. If you try to extrovertedly know the truth, you cannot know it. But the attempt will be catering to your ego. Such as, I am also putting in this effort. All you fellows are running around in the world, worldly fellows, only interested in acquisition, enjoyment, nothing else. Something beyond, you are not thinking all the time, only thinking about the worldly acquisitions. I am working for Brahman. I want to know Brahman. I want to know. You can never know. It's impossible to know Brahman. That again was discussed in the part 1 and 2. He said, those who think they know Brahman, they don't know his. Those who do not know, they know Brahman. All those kind of confusing words he used to tell us, what does he want to tell? You cannot know the truth or Brahman objectively. It is not an object of comprehension. It is a subjective apprehension. You have to know it within you. Know it within you means the knower dissolves in the known. It is not an experience. It is not an objective experience. It is a subjective apprehension. So therefore, when Agni went to see, Agni couldn't. Same thing happened with Vayu. So, organs of perception and action, they fail. And not only that, all are glories. See, Agni very proudly says, I burn up everything. That much we have seen in the story I have already said. And when we were studying the story in the verses, we have done up to verse number 5. We haven't come to that Vayu part yet. But the point that we need to understand here is, whatever powers that may be in our senses, whatever powers that may be in our mind and intellect, whatever power that may be in all of us, it is actually borrowed power. First thing you need to understand. And the real glory is something that belongs to Brahman. But unfortunately, when we don't know this knowledge, we attribute the glory to ourselves. So in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, 9 and especially chapter 10. Chapter 10 is called as Vibhuti Yoga, the Yoga of Supreme Manifestation or Glory. There, he wants to educate us on this only. The eyes are able to see because the pure consciousness is enlivening it. The hand is able to grab something because the pure consciousness is enlivening it. I am able to talk now because the pure consciousness is enlivening my organ of speech. You are able to hear now because the pure consciousness is enlivening the organ of speech. You understand? So therefore, I think Rita ji, can you please put yourself in mute? Yeah, thank you. So we are able to function because of the pure consciousness enlivening. But the moment we function, we get egoistic about it, we get proud, and we lose the role played by Brahma. And this happens to all of us, even from a relative point of view. If I am talking now, the back of my mind, I should be aware of the fact that this knowledge was passed on to me by my guru, and to him by his guru and the entire guru parampara. Now, if I become egoistic about it, how will it be? It's exactly like that. The organs of perception, action, emotions and thoughts all are able to function because the pure consciousness is enlivening it. But we forget. So he wants to say that the real glory belongs to Brahman. And we don't think of Brahman when things are going fine. Only when there is an issue we think of Brahman. Like the devas, not to talk about human beings, even devas. Devas meaning they are also beings. They are not some, Brahman or something. They are also mind at different frequency. Even there, they were needing the help of Brahman as long as they had to conquer the asuras. But once they had conquered, they forgot about it. This is what happens to all of us. Only during the pandemic or during some difficult times, we'll be more conscious of Brahman, Atman, Vedanta, this, that. The moment success comes, we forget about it. We forget about the role, you know. So therefore, that's the point that he's trying to teach us here. This happened to Deva. They forgot about Brahman completely. And they were celebrating. And each one thought their powers are their own personal glory. So therefore they were proud. And they go and approach Yaksha and then they say, I am ugly. I can burn up everything. So Yaksha said, please burn up the straw. And did not enliven the Agni. So when Yaksha doesn't enliven the Agni, Agni cannot burn up anything. It's the borrowed power, no? You understand? The strength is borrowed, not original. See, even in knowledge, what happens is, if you don't reflect and make the knowledge your own, it'll be borrowed knowledge. You will not be able to be strong because you have is not originally thought about it. You may say the same thing, but if you have originally thought about it, then it's gone through your system completely, you have understood it, you have experienced it. Otherwise, you are only repeating what you heard without digesting. That won't give you the strength. Only the digested food gives you the strength. Undigested food will not give you the strength. It will make you weak. So, this is what is the thing that happened to Vayu and Agni. But when Indra went with even more powerful ego. That's why even Yaksha vanished. You know, so when you go to Guru, when you go to the Shastra, if you want to get the full benefit of the Shastra, you have to keep aside your ego. But most of us, what happens is, when we go there, we want special treatment. Everywhere where we have gone, we've got special treatment. You know, so here also we want special treatment. But when you really go to a true guru, you don't get any special treatment. In fact, the more you expect special treatment, maybe you will get really bad treatment. Not because he wants to ill-treat you. The thing that is obstructing you is your ego. The guru wants to remove that. That's his role. Everybody else is making that ego more strong by catering to it. A true guru will not do that. A true guru wants to destroy that ego. That's why you go to the guru, right? Guru means dispeller of darkness, dispeller of ignorance. Who dispels ignorance? The guru dispels the ignorance. Because he or she is a personification of light, knowledge. So with the knowledge, the false shadow called the ego dissolves. Ego is a false notion. It really doesn't exist. If you question it, you understand. Supposing I have the ego that I know everything. If I just simply question that assumption that I know everything, whatever little English I know, I got it from my teachers and from many people. Whatever Vedantic knowledge I've got it from my guru, from the texts and other teachers. So what in it is mine? So when I really subject that notion to intellectual questioning, the ego will disintegrate. But when you don't do that, the ego consolidates itself. So therefore, when Indra went with tremendous ego, he went to, you know, this Yaksha, I will find out. Of course, the gods appealed to him, now you go. When he went with tremendous ego, Yaksha himself vanished. There is no way the knowledge will penetrate you if you keep your ego. You cannot go to a guru as a king, even if you are a king. So in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, I don't know when we did chapter 1, I think somewhere around 2010 or 11 we started this class, I think. I think that time we did chapter 1. I don't know how many of you remember that, first of all. So there I pointed out in the first chapter of the Gita, Duryodhana goes to his guru Dronacharya and introduces his army who all have come to fight. And when he approaches Dronacharya, the verse says, he went to him, King Duryodhana went. He went to Dronacharya as a king. He doesn't go as a student. Raja, you understand? Very interesting word, choice of words. He goes there as a king. When you go to a guru, you keep aside all your glory. That's the culture. See, the real culture is understanding that all my powers, whatever it is due to the Brahman or Bhagavan or Ishvara. But we think I have done, I did. The more the I, the less you know the truth. When the I dissolves, you will know the truth. The way to gain the truth is you should disappear. But that's the most difficult thing. I want to learn. When you say, I want to learn, you cannot learn. The I is the problem. So that's why when Indra approaches Yaksha, Yaksha disappears. But then he humbles himself and stays put there. He says, I'm not going back without knowing the truth. That consistency should be there. That determination should be there. See, most of us, we are good in beginning things, especially when it comes to spiritual path. We are just interested in knowing the words that are there in the Shastra. We really do not want to go deeper and experience the truth. You know, so that's why in the invocation to Bhagavad Gita, which is given by Madhusudana Saraswati, he says, Bhagavad Gita is the milk and Upanishads are the cow. So when you draw the philosophy from the Upanishads, you get the Bhagavad Gita. So cows or compared to the Upanishad. Upanishad is the cow, and from that you draw the philosophy which is Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna is the cowherd boy, and Arjuna is the calf. In the presence of the calf, the cow gives milk. So if you are a student who is having those qualifications, Viveka, Vairagya, sense control, mind control, all these qualifications when you have, the sixfold qualifications that we discussed, it's called as Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna. I mean, the fourfold qualifications, in that the third one is having six aspects. So all those when you have, you are a qualified student. When you're a qualified student, the cow gets inspired and the knowledge comes in the form of Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is the calf and Sri Krishna is the cowherd boy who is drawing the milk. Then he says, pure intellects are the ones who drink the milk. Even though the philosophy is universal, it is meant for everyone. It is only drunk by the pure intellect. Not everyone. Not everyone benefits out of it. Only those who humble, purify themselves and question and seek it consistently, they draw the philosophy and make their life a better life. Everybody else only know the words. They don't know the truth. There will be a clear difference between what they know and what they are. You understand? Their life and Bhagavad Gita or knowledge will be like a railway track. Two parallel lines which never meet. But if you have these qualities, if you have the Shraddha, Shraddha is that quality. It's not just a faith. It's faith plus conviction plus consistency. Till you bring about that transformation, you don't give up. That kind of a determined pursuit with unflinching devotion. When you have that, that's what Indra had, that Shraddha. He said, I am not going without knowing the truth. And he humbled himself and stood there. And then Uma appeared. Uma meaning the daughter of Himavan, who is nothing but Vedanta. Vedanta is born in the Himalayas. So Uma means the Vedantic knowledge. Then through the Vedantic knowledge, he came to know the truth. So with these preparations, when you approach the knowledge, then you will know the truth within. That's what the story is trying to tell. Finally, he came to know of the truth. But through the Shastra and through the Guru. So through the Guru and Shastra, Indra comes to know the truth. And then he in turn tells the Agni and Vayu that was nothing but Brahman. So in the end he says, these gods came to know of Brahman. That's how the story goes. So in this story, we learn a lot in the sense. This knowledge particularly is not the knowledge like you gain by going to school or college. That's why I said, what you gain by going to school or college is learning. What you gain here is unlearning. It is in fact not gaining, it is losing. All that you have gained, you got to lose. That requires a lot of guts. You understand? Whatever you are known as today, you are so-and-so, you are in Forbes list, you are in this list and that list, all that you should be ready to rise above. It's not that you call them up and say, please strike me off from the list. It's not that. It means you should understand that all these things are nothing. That's why they say in Telugu, Nenu Pote Povachin. If the I goes, then you get it. All those things that glorify this small little I, you should understand actually the real glory belongs to Brahman and you give it up. When those things are removed, then what you are surfaces. So it's unlearning, it's not learning. You are already the truth. You don't have to paint yourself with more information. In fact, when you keep painting yourself with more information, you take yourself far away from truth. But in the mind you think you know, but you're far away from the truth. The more and more you think you know, you've actually moved far away from the truth. I know. When you say I know, you are far away from the truth. When the I is dissolved, you become one with the truth. The completely different thing compared to what you gain in school and in the Upanishads. So the Upanishad gives you Brahma Vidya by you giving the I as Guru Dakshana. That's the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? A lot of people, when it comes to even doing charity, first of all, majority don't do. Even if you do, it is for your name and fame. Something or the other you want out of it. The name should be there. This should be there. That should be there. If you really want to know the truth, only Brahman should be there. A very, very interesting one Swamiji told when he was thinking of naming this ashram. He said, what should I name it as? Said, let me name it as Vedanta Academy. He is very much inspired by Swami Ramtita. He was almost tempted, he says, to keep it Swami Ramtita's name. He said, no. Ramtita himself says Vedanta. So why should I keep his name? So he said Vedanta Academy. Then what would be the trust called as? Vedanta Cultural Foundation. What will be the institute that publishes the books would be called as? Vedanta Life Institute. Everything Vedanta, Vedanta, Vedanta. There's no need for anybody's personal name to be there. So the whole point here is, this is unlearning. It's not learning. What we go and get in the school is learning. What we go and get in the Upanishad class is unlearning. In fact, when somebody asked Swami Vivekananda, what did you gain from this knowledge all these days? What have this knowledge given to you? What has this knowledge given to you? He said, I don't know what this knowledge has given to me, but I know the few things that this knowledge has taken away from me. What is that? Anger, jealousy, greed, fear, arrogance, you know, all these have been removed from me. All these are the outcome of this little self. As long as you condition yourself to be this little self, you will have all these outcomes. Anger, jealousy, fear, greed, all these outcomes will be there. So what Vedanta robs you is, it robs you of all these conditionings. So the real Guru Dakshana is the I, the small I. That's why when you go to the South Indian temple, in the beginning, the entrance, because it's the place where the ruler of the world, Lord, resides. So the entrance of the temple, the beginning one, will be huge. But when you finally go to the Sanctum Sanctorum, you'll have to almost bend and go. You have to bend and go. And even in the homes, if you see, we go for a retreat every year to a village in Rajasthan with a particular group I go. I've spoken about it to you also. There, when we go and stay there, we go to the houses of certain villages. There also, if you see, the entrance is so small. You have to really bend and go. It's a home. in the home, if the ego is there, there won't be harmony. You understand? You've got to bend and go. You've got to humble yourself. If you have the ego, I versus you, what did I bring, what did you bring, and it won't be a home. It'll be just a house made of bricks. There won't be harmony. So when you go to the mandir, in the final entrance where you enter the sanctum sanctorum, you've got to bend and go. If you keep the I, God will be far away. The day you are ready to give up your eye, God will be the closest. The choice is yours. That's what the story teaches us. It's a beautiful story. But if you say, no, I want to keep myself, I did this, I did that, then you forget about knowing the truth. You will know words, but you will still have tremendous insecurity. You would still have a lot of lack. You would still have jealousy, greed, fear, anger. Nothing would have been gone. It will still be there. Therefore, if you want to know the truth, the real Guru Dakshina is I. Nothing else. That's why you go to any master, they talk about giving as one of the sadhana. Tapas, yajna, dana, tapa. With all these things, giving. Finally, you understand that he is giving through you. You are not giving anything. What are you giving? When you say you are giving, what are you giving? He is giving through you. It is his. You are only a trustee. So the truth is known when the inside is purified. When the inside is not purified, the truth will never be known. That's why Jesus Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So that's why they, even in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna emphasizes. He says, in my opinion, yajna, dhana, tapa should not be given up. Yajna, dhana, tapa should not be given up. Dhanam is mentioned very often, and even forgiveness is mentioned. Forgiveness is for your betterment. It's not that you're doing something great for the other person. When you forgive, those things which are unnecessarily holding you, release it. When you release it, you become free. It's like, you know, when you breathe in and you hold the breath and don't release, you feel suffocated. But when you release the breath, you feel relaxed. Similarly, you are holding all the grudges and, you know, everything you are holding. So you are tensed. So forgiveness is talked about for your good. It is not talked about for the other person as if you are forgiving him. You are no one to forgive anybody. If they have done something, they will have to go through the karma of that. Unless they rise above it and they ask for forgiveness. When they realize it, then they come out of the karma. Till then, if they have done something, they'll have to pay for it. By you forgiving doesn't mean they become free from the karma. But by you forgiving, you become free from the unnecessary pangs that you go through because of the vengeance that you are carrying in your heart. So, spiritual field is letting go, not holding. We are trying to hold the words, the books, grab, everything. You know, wealth you grab the everything you want for yourself. But the first thing you learn in spirituality is serve, give, distribute. So we keep saying again and again in the class, if you bought something new, already have old things, you distribute. Or you want to hoard. If you have a tendency to hoard, the same tendency you have to hoard the knowledge also. And you think, I have studied Bhagavad Gita, now by studying Keno Upanishad, now suddenly you will become realized. Nothing will happen. what would have happened is you've got a few more words. You are hiding behind so many words because you don't have strength. See, when you lack the beauty from within, you need to make up for it. I'm getting some feedback. I don't know if somebody's mic is on. Please put it in silent mode.
Sunanda, I think your mic is on.
Is she there?
I think she came on for a minute, but I don't know. It says iPad 2.
Who is the host? They can actually mute them.
No, we can't mute.
I don't know who is the host. The company person, if he's there, he can mute her.
I'll just ring up Sunanda, Swami.
It's either Sunanda or it's the host can mute.
It says iPad 2. I don't know whether it's Sunanda's. Anyway.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done. Okay, thanks. So, the whole thing that we need to understand from this story, from this Upanishad and all that is, we are close, yet we don't get it. Why? Because the approach is extroverted. That's why they say, first become purified. Then it happens instantly. There is a book called 1 Minute Wisdom by Anthony DeMello. He has not written anything there. He just picked up few quotations and one-liners from many places and he's put it nicely. A very nice book. Somebody gave it to me when I was in the ashram about 30 years ago. It's called 1 Minute Wisdom by Anthony DeMello. It says, in that one of the quotations says, to open your eyes, it may take years. But once you open the eyes, seeing is instantaneous. You understand? To drop the eye, it may take janmas, or it may take Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta, Upanishad, Bhajagovindam, Mahatma Govada, Sapkuch. But the day, I don't know when it will happen. If you open your eyes and Bhagavad Gita happened, you would have seen it. If you open your eyes and Upanishad is happening, you would have seen it. But whenever you open the eyes, you instantly see. But to open your eyes, you may take years. So the yajna you do for your sake, dhanam you do for your sake, forgiving is also for your sake. You think, oh, I forgive. As if you are doing some favor to that person. So remember, forgiving you do for your sake. You are creating a bondage with the other person by holding on to those thoughts. So you let go of those things, unnecessary things. So the whole thing in spirituality is letting go. Remember that. You become free. See, you are not being held hostage by them. You are held hostage by your own thoughts. This is what you need to understand. By you resisting that experience and holding on to that, you are binding yourself. What is that they say in Hindi? Usko zinda nahi chodenge. As if, you know, and there is a famous dialogue in the movies. So, as if you get that ego kick out of it. So, the one who learns to let go, truth is very close to him. One who never lets go, truth is far away. Similarly, when we keep on holding knowledge, information, we are hiding behind these words. If you see Ramana Maharshi hardly spoke because he has no words to speak. He has only truth. Truth is beyond words. But when you have only words and not the truth, go on talking the whole day. So they say, when you reach the truth, you become Mauni. Mauni because you've gone beyond the words, you have no words now. And there are no words which can express the truth. And the moment you try to articulate the truth, what you are articulating is far from the truth. That's why he says it is not what you speak, but what makes you speak. So then whatever you speak is not the truth. So therefore, it's an ingenious way through which they have beautifully communicated this knowledge by giving this story. So in this, we have done up to mantra 5. So in mantra 1, he says, verily Brahman won a victory for the gods. In that victory of Brahman, the gods indeed became elated. Replace the word gods with your name. Sadhana, Sweta, Vida, Mukta, Lakshmi Narayan. This is what happens to us. Oh my God, today's class was out of the world. And then I say, oh wow, fantastic. You know, I talk well. And you got to study the Upanishad carefully. Brahman won the victory for the gods. In that victory of Brahman, the gods indeed became elated. So that's why in our culture, we say, by God's grace, Ishwar Kripa. Ishwar Kripa. And a lot of people say Ishwar Kripa because they're scared. So in case I don't say Ishwar Kripa, maybe Ishwar will get angry, take it away from me. But actually, if you really understand it, see, that's why in Islam they say Inshallah. It's beautiful actually. Okay, let's meet next week, Inshallah. You don't know. Inshallah. Really speaking, it's all Bhagavan's Kripa. If I understand that, I'm closer to the truth. So he says, with the help of Brahman, the gods attained the truth. And they became elated. They thought this victory in these is ours. This victory is ours. This glory indeed is ours. They were attributing everything to themselves. So, if you want to know what the real strength is, strength is in being invisible. But it's not that desire to be invisible. You understand? But the more and more you have a desire to be visible, you are everywhere. That means it is weakness. You are not strong. Who wrote Keno Upanishad? You don't know. I don't know. We are studying it. They didn't even bother. Luckily those days this copyright issue was not there. Nowadays the problem is copyright is there. See, those days they did not have this bookish intelligence. They had only true knowledge. So no need to worry about copyright and this and that. So if you see here, he says, this victory indeed is ours, this glory is ours, thought the Devas. Verily that Brahman knew their vanity. You can hide your inner thoughts from the external world, but not from the truth. Because in each one of us, pure consciousness is sitting there as a witness. Isn't it? The movies, in the Bollywood movies, they show as if your own inner voice is watching it. In the mirror, your own reflection comes and then it talks to you. What are you doing? Why are you behaving like this? And all. Basically what? Your own pure consciousness sitting inside as a witness. The eye knows everything, isn't it? Yours may not know it, but deep inside the pure consciousness is sitting there as a witness. Ishwara knows it. So he says, verily that Brahman knew their vanity that indeed appeared before them. So the Brahman said, let me go and teach them a lesson. Why? Because they were devas. There is some potential in them learning. They were not asuras, completely tamasic. They are not completely tamasic. They had some potential. So therefore it appeared. They did not actually know what that spirit was. Then they said to Agni, O Jataveda, ascertain this, what the spirit is. The Agni agreed. See, firstly, all the devas, they thought they can know the spirit objectively. And they appealed to Agni, go and know it. Agni said, okay, I'll go and find out. Firstly, this very attempt to know it will be a failure. You want to know it, you should not be there. You cannot know it. You can only become it. That's the problem. So Agni said, okay, I'll go and know it. Came back defeated. So the fourth mantra, he says, fourth and fifth, Agni hastened to that. Like we are all in a hurry to know the truth without really preparing ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves to know the truth. Without proper preparation, when we rush, we cannot know the truth. So Agni hastened to that. The spirit softly asked him, who are you? Agni replied, I am Agni. Also, I am Jataveda. I know everything, all knower. Spirit, what is the power in such as you? Agni said, I can indeed burn up all this, which is on this earth. Everything on this earth I can burn. So now, let's get on to verse number 6. Tasmai trinam niradave tatraheti tatupapreyaya sarvajavena tanna shashaka dhagdum satata eva nivavrute naita dashakam vignyatum yadetat yakshamiti. Tasmai trinam niradave tatraheti tatupapreyaya sarvajavena tanna shashaka dhagdum satata eva nivavrute naita dashakam vignyatum yadetad yakshamiti. The spirit placed a straw before him and said, burn this. Having speedily approached it, he was not able to burn it. Tremendous ego. He said, okay, I'll burn it. He approached it as if in matter of seconds he'll finish it off. So he approached it, but he could not burn it. So he promptly returned from there admitting, I could not ascertain this, what this spirit is. Only trying to tell us, this extroverted approach is not going to help you find out the truth about yourself. These extroverted approaches are only good enough to provide you certain material things for your transactional purpose. But for the internal conflict to be completely solved, you need to know the truth, for which these extroverted approaches will not help. In fact, even whatever conquest you have done externally, it is due to the power supplied by the pure consciousness. That's the main thing that we need to understand. So the spirit placed a straw before him. Obviously, when he placed the straw, he said, burn it. He withdrew the support he gave. Like in politics, it happens. No. One party is supporting. You know, it's very funny. This party which is supporting the main party, that main party will have something like 90 seats or 100 seats. They just need another 18 or 20 seats to form a government. So this fellow has like 20, 21. So he says, okay, I will support you. The other fellow has 100. This fellow has only 20, 21. So every now and then, I'll withdraw the support. I'll withdraw the support. And then the fellows who have 100, they are dancing to their tunes. Because it's borrowed. Similarly, we are all, you know, not realizing that the whole thing is borrowed. That's why the stress is. When we don't realize this truth, when we start believing as if the borrowed thing is our own, then we fall into stress. So when we don't become dependent on all these things that are borrowed, then we will not go through stress. That's why Swamiji says, American dollar is going on increasing because they say in dollar, they say in God we trust. They trust in God, they say. He is putting it in a light-hearted way. But what it means is, you place trust on anything worldly, you will be deceived. Anything worldly. On this body, if you place your trust, you will be deceived. This beauty is something that is constantly passing, fleeting. You will be deceived soon. Sooner or later, you will be deceived. If you place the trust on the wealth, you will be deceived soon. If you place the trust on emotional relationships, you will be deceived soon. If you place your trust on the intellectual information, you will be deceived soon. The only place where you will not find any deception is when you place your trust in the reality that is behind everything. So, the spirit said, I am placing the straw before you, try to burn it. And Agni could not do it, completely defeated. Agni accepted the defeat and returned. Then next, the same story continues with Vayu. Let's chant that. Ata vayu mabruvan vayavetat vijanihi himetat yakshamiti tapeti. Then the God said to Vayu, wind God, Vayu ascertain this, what this spirit is. Vayu also agreed. At least from the Agni, Vayu should have learned. But the problem is, Vayu didn't learn. You know. So, earlier when we talked about Agni, the fire, is a fire of speech. So, fire represents here the organs of action. This we discussed last week. Here when we say Vayu, it's talking about the organs of perception. The inner faculties. So, vital air sheath here represents the organs of perception. So, organs of perception also cannot know the truth. So, Vayu said, okay, I'll go and know the truth. Same thing is going to happen. If organs of action failed, as if organs of perception can, not possible. Tadabhya dravattam abhyavadat positi vayurva. Ahamasmitya bravin matarishvava ahamasmiti tasmin gustvai kim viryamitya pidagum sarvamadadiya eridam prithivyamiti tadabhyadravattam abhyavadatko siti vayurva ahamasmitya bravin matarishvava ahamasmiti tasmin gustvai kim viryamitya pidagum sarvamadhadiya yadidam prithivyamiti. Was 8 and 9. Vayu hastened to that. Same thing. Rushing to know the truth. When the mind rushes, when there is an extroversion, when there is a restless running, you cannot know the truth. When everything quietens, the truth reveals itself. So he says, Vayu hastened to that. The spirit softly asked him, who are you? Vayu replied, I am Vayu. Also I am Matarishva, mover in sky. I move in the sky. What is the power in such as you? Asked the spirit. Vayu says, I can indeed blow away all this, which is on this earth. I can blow everything. I can toss up everything. Like Agni said, I can burn everything. Now Vayu is saying, I can toss up everything. Like you say, well, I write a check. What do you want? You want me to do this? Okay, take this check. Oh, you want to do that? Okay, take that. Take this. As if it's yours. That ego. You know, when you have that ego, this Upanishad needs to come to your head. And they say, yeah, all this belongs to that truth. So, I can indeed blow away all this which is on this earth. This is what the Vayu said. For which, same thing. Spirit will now place a straw and then try to blow it. Verse number 10. Tasmai trinam niradaveta dasveti तदुपप्रेयाय सर्वजवेन तन्न शशाका धातुं सतत एव निववृते नैतदशकं विज्ञातुं यदेतद् यक्षमिति तस्मै त्रिनं निददावेतदा दश्वेति तदुपप्रेयाय सर्वजवेन तन्न शशाका धातुं सतत एव निववृते नैतदशकं विज्ञातुं यदेतद् यक्षमिति. The spirit placed a straw before him and said, blow this away. Having speedily approached it, he was not able to blow it away. So he promptly returned from there, admitting, I could not ascertain this, what this spirit is. So fire failed and vayu failed. Meaning organs of action and organs of perception failed. Now the next thing will be the mind. Indra. अतेन्द्रमब्रुवन् मघवन्नेतद्विजानीहि किमेतद् यक्षमिति ततेति तदभ्यद्रवत् तस्मात्तिरोदधे. अतेन्द्रमब्रुवन् मघवन्नेतद्विजानीहि किमेतद् यक्षमिति ततेति तदभ्यद्रवत् तस्मात्तिरोदधे. Then the god said to Indra. Indra is the lord of devas. Mind, the sense organs of perception and sense organs of action, they have the sense center in the mind. So mind is actually, strictly speaking, the real sense. He says, the God said to Indra, O Maghavan, O worshipful one, O Lord, ascertain this, what this spirit is. Won't please find out what this spirit is. Indra agreed. He hastened to that. Then he says it disappeared from him. See, at least in the case of Vayu and Agni, the Yaksha was there talking to them. Indra, when he went, Yaksha disappeared. So when you go with tremendous arrogance, knowledge will, truth will be far away from you. That much arrogance was not there, at least in the case of Vayu and Agni. And Indra was tremendously haughty. So, because it is Indra, no? The Lord. So, that's why we say these values are essential to know the truth. See, when you go to America, you need to have dollars with you. When you go to England, you need pounds with you. When you go to UAE, you need dirhams with you, isn't it? Here in India, you need rupees with you. So when you have to go to Brahman, you need these values. Remember this. You need these values if you want to know the truth. In fact, when you say something as a value, why do you call something as a value? Anybody? Why is a value called as a value?
Because that's the most valuable thing. Is it?
So I'm asking you.
It has a value because you can exchange it for something else with you value.
A value is a thing that adds value to your life. So the quality of your life depends on your values. If your values are mundane, your quality of your life also will be mundane. It won't be sublime. If the values are sublime, then the quality of your life will be sublime. Understand? If you value the superficial surface things, then your value will also be very, very superficial. Your life also will be very, very superficial. Your values are deep. The quality of your life also will be deep. See, the quality of life of King Janaka was deep because he did not value the material success that he had, the wealth that he had. He valued the truth behind it. That's why he was able to enjoy his life. The quality of life is directly proportional to the values you hold. how deep your values are. Your values are superficial, your life also will be, quality of your life also will be superficial. So if you say my quality of my life is very so-so, then I would say question your value system. Find out what you are valuing. What really you value the most? When the stories we have heard, when Alexander the Great ventured to conquer the world, he asked his guru, it seems, back home, he asked, what shall I get you from India? He said, get me a true guru from India, a teacher from India. He could not. No true teacher you can buy. You understand? Forget about it. See, I remember a few years ago, I don't want to take the name of the person, you may know him. Very big businessman in Delhi. In some context I had met him. So he said, you know, this yajna that we conduct, Bhagavad Gita classes and all that, he could not come because he is business and he's busy. He could not come. But he said always he had the desire to study Upanishad. Always he had the desire to study the Upanishads. So he said, I want to study the Upanishads. So the next time Swamiji comes to Delhi, can we please have Swamiji come to our office and teach us Upanishad? We'll make all the arrangements. I'll fly him into Delhi. He said even he will sponsor this, that, all that. I said that will not happen here. Forget it. You forget it. You want to learn Upanishad, you have to go to the ashram and study. He said, no sir, I don't have time. Sorry, I hope you understand. I'm really interested. And I said, it will not happen. He said, no, please, why don't you check with Swamiji? Why are you telling me? Please check with Swamiji. I said, okay, if that is what you want, I'll check with him. When I told Swamiji, he said, if that man wants to learn Upanishad, let him come to the ashram, sit on the floor and learn. If he has a back problem or something, I'll give him a chair. No problem. But he has to come to the ashram if he wants to learn Upanishad. We are not going to give him whatever he pays for it. Doesn't matter. We don't want it. So what you need to understand is, because it's not the words. Upanishad is not the words. Bhagavad Gita is not found in the words. See, Sri Krishna again and again tells in the Bhagavad Gita, I will give you this knowledge because you are devoted. If your vessel is not empty, how much ever I pour, it won't enter the vessel only, first of all. If you are so full, it will not enter. Isn't it? That's why Jesus Christ says, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. What are you full of? You need to find out. If you are full of pride of your wealth, if you are full of pride of your following, if you are full of pride of your youth, Vasudeva Govindam says that, no? Ma kuru dana jana yavana garvam harati vimesha kalaha sarvam. Remember that? We studied in Vasudeva Govindam. Ma kuru dana. Dana means wealth. Jana means following. Yavana means youth. Ma kuru dana jana yavana garvam. Pride that comes from wealth. Pride that comes from following. Pride that comes from youth. Ma kuru dana jana yavana garvam harati nimesha kalaha sarvam. In a passing, fleeting moment, everything will be taken away. Before you realize, it's gone. Last year, March, Muriji asked us to clap. You understand? They have still not stopped clapping, I think. Still going on. 1 year is almost done. What is today's date? 18th. I think last year, March 22nd or so, he asked us to clap. And 25th, the shutdown started. So one more week, we will be completing 1 year of shutdown. Isn't it? Neither you nor me thought that we will be having classes for 1 year in this online thing. We never thought about it.
Right.
Isn't it? 1 year gone. All of us have become 1 year older.
Actually.
Right?
Yeah.
Harati Nimesha. It feels as if only yesterday we said no one will be meeting online. But it passes. Time flies like anything. I still remember how so much people used to talk about this millennium, new millennium, new millennium, 2000, this time. But 2021 has also come. 21 years has gone by.
And it's getting worse, Guruji.
Yeah. So, the whole point that we need to understand is everything is passing and fleeting. That's what that poem, even this shall pass away, is teaching us.
This too shall pass.
So, the moment we understand all that, you know, we will keep our feet grounded on us. So, whatever you are feeling proud about, your pride, if you're full of pride because of certain things, that's what you need to give up. These are your obstacles. That's exactly what is preventing you from knowing the truth. God never enters the home where there is pride is already a visitor. And the pride leaves, God enters. So the wealth meaning any wealth, it's not just the material wealth, even knowledge wealth, information wealth. If you are proud of, or if you are proud of your beauty, youthful skin, you know, yavana, wealth, following is another big problem. Who is following you? I'm very well known. All that is nonsense. You know, Robert Browning says, less is more. Things that are not really valuable is more known, isn't it? Really, things that are valuable is not known. Even in the brands, some of the top brands, they don't advertise. You won't know. They don't know that product. Nobody knows it. The really quality thing doesn't require any advertisement. Less is more, research. So, Indra hastened, the yaksha disappeared. When you go to the guru, when you go to the shastra, you must have a thorough understanding that I don't know. You must go there as a shishya. You should not go there as a so-and-so. If you go there as so-and-so, you will not get it. You will get. What you will get is information. The problem is you paid a heavy price for it. And you come back with, it's like you're paying the money and you're coming back with a duplicate diamond. How will it be? If you use that example, you will understand. That's why I'm giving that. You pay that price, but what you are getting is that duplicate painting of a great painter. Some of the paintings are costing in few lakhs, crores also maybe. And you paid that money. But then when you get it, you say, yeah, this is not the original. This is duplicate. How will you feel? Similarly, you're paying heavily, but what you are getting is only information. You haven't got the truth. And what do you have to pay for the truth? Simple. What? Ego. So that's what the story says, no? They call it Tulabharam in Tamil. Where Sri Krishna was sitting on the physical balance on one side. On the other side, they keep tons of gold. The balance doesn't tilt the other side. But when they put a small piece of tulsi, the whole thing tilts. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Yome bhaktya prayachati. not what you do, how you do it. That ego. He hastened to that, then it disappeared from him. Mantra 12. Satasmin eva kashe sriyama jagama bahu sobhamana humagum haimavatim tagum hovacha kimetat yakshamiti. Satasmin eva kashe sriyama jagama bahu sobhamana humagum haimavatim tagum hovacha kimetat yakshamiti. In the very space appeared an extremely beautiful woman, Uma, daughter of Himavan, Himalaya mountain. He asked her, what was this? What was this spirit? So when Indra went there, the Yaksha disappeared. And he didn't come back. He said, let me wait. He had that Shraddha. He had the Tiksha. These are all important qualities to know the truth. He had the Shraddha and the Tiksha. And humility. She stood there. There, the beautiful Uma appeared. Uma is the daughter of Himavan. In the Himalayas, the Vedanta knowledge was born. Vedanta is also known as Om. Vedas are known as Om mantra also. Uma is another way of putting Om only. A-U-M-U-M-A-A is Uma. Right? So, A-U-M and U-M-A-A is same. So Uma means, Om means Vedanta, Vedas, the Shastras, that's what it means. Through the Shastra, he came to know, firstly he inquired through the Shastra. Very patiently, having qualified, he inquired through the Shastra. He asked her, what was that spirit? Then the answer is given in the next chapter, not in this chapter. What that spirit is. The pause is to indicate to us the time that takes between reflection and transformation. So that's why the chapter ends here. When he asks, the chapter ends with the question that Indra asks. Then Uma gives the answer in the next chapter as to what that spirit was. And Uma, the Shastra, will tell that spirit was indeed Brahman. And all the glories you got was with the Brahman's help. You forgot about it. All that Uma will give in the next chapter, which we will see next week. Let's conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Sakate Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week.